So the languages that I could give a presentation in, formal presentation, with minimal prep, English, Spanish, French, Mandarin, Portuguese, Thumber. The languages that, you know, I could maybe give a presentation with some additional prep.
Yeah.
Hindi, Italian, Russian, maybe.
Wow.
And then there's a tale of others that I can converse in.
Most people would call you a polyglot.
To tell you the truth, I'm not a huge fan of these labels. And I really actually, I don't like the question, how many languages do you speak?
Okay.
There's always something you can improve in. Similar in music. At what point do you say, oh, I play this instrument? You're always just learning. So my name is Akshay Swaminathan. I'm a language enthusiast, lifelong language learner, and hope to see you soon using our tools to get in a language workout whenever you have the time.
You'll hear more about these virtual language workouts that Akshay is designing in this episode, but this might surprise you. All of his work with all of those languages is not his day job.
My name is Akshay Swaminathan. I am currently an MD, PhD student at Stanford, where I study how we can use data to improve health systems. And that means using data to get the right treatment to the right patient at the right time.
My name is Steve Levine, and this is America the Bilingual. Welcome to episode 76 of our podcast. First, a personal note for listeners who, like me, are in the throes of learning a language. Akshay's language workouts are a new approach to mastering a language that's particularly helpful for adults. And after trying the software, I have to say I'm pretty excited about it. I met Akshay through an intergenerational program at Stanford that we're both involved in. I'm the older generation, learning from the younger one, and how. Our conversation started with a walk around Harvard, where Akshay was attending his fifth class reunion, that is, his first reunion. He graduated from Harvard in 2019 with concentrations in statistics and global health.
Okay, so describe where we are.
So we are on the border of Harvard Square. We're walking down Brattle Street, and we're about to enter the heart of Harvard Square, which has some of my favorite restaurants and places that I would go to eat when the dining halls closed back, you know, at 7:15, 7:20.
All Harvard freshmen eat together in their own dining hall, but Akshay spent a lot of time there talking, which is why he had to hit those restaurants later. And he was rarely talking in English.
That's right. And they have different tables for different languages, isn't that right?
They do. They had weekly language tables. So, you know, Monday would be the Spanish table, Tuesday is the French table, and so on.
Oh, so what did you do?
Akshay paid a visit to many of these tables: Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, Mandarin, Russian.
So you may have set a record here at the number of different language tables you sat at the freshman dining hall. Is that possible?
It's possible, I guess.
Yeah. Did you ever get some double takes? Like, wait, I thought you were at the Italian table?
I did get a few double takes, yes.
And were you able to converse in all these different languages?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, at some level, you know, when we put on our technical hat, our student hat, we strive for perfection.
Ooh.
Right? But when you're in conversation mode, sometimes you just got to strive for communication.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a kid in my Spanish class in high school.
Both Akshay's parents immigrated to the U.S. from India.
But you were born in...
I was born in New Jersey. Born and raised in New Jersey.
Can you sound like a New Jersey kid?
Oh, I don't know if I can do a good Snooki impression for you. This is all I got.
He's better at speaking Tamil, which was his first language. English came quickly once he started school. Nevertheless, his father was determined that Akshay and his younger brother would retain their heritage language.
My dad especially made some Herculean efforts. He actually hosted music and language classes for many kids in the community. He's a musician, not by profession, but he's a very talented Carnatic musician, music of South India. And so every weekend he would have classes teaching music and language.
Akshay's public high school was a magnet school that had 7 learning tracks. He had to choose one before he started his freshman year. He didn't choose languages.
And so I picked the medicine track, and I was interested in the human body. I'd watched a lot of House.
But he also got placed in a language class, beginning Spanish.
Because you had to take a language?
Yeah, you had to take a language, and I had taken Spanish in middle school, but, you know, didn't know much. And my teacher in that Spanish class, Miss Mendelson, Julia Mendelson, she spoke 4 languages. So I thought that was really cool.
So Akshay went on YouTube and found communities of people who speak any number of languages.
People who speak 10, 15, 20 languages. In 10 minutes, they'd switch from English to Spanish to Mandarin to Swedish to Croatian. That was when I started wondering, is this something that anyone can do? Or is this some special gene or talent that these folks have that the rest of us don't? And that's what made me sort of take this up as a intellectual challenge. You know, what if I tried to do this? I mean, I didn't speak many of those languages, but I have a musical ear.
And that, as Akshay explains, helped him have an ear for language.
And so this is where I put on my musician hat. My training in Indian classical music. In music, this is what we do. We have in our minds the gold standard recording, right? This is what it should sound like. Uh-huh. But then when we play it, it sounds terrible. It sounds nothing like that at first. And then you do rep after rep until what you're playing sounds like that recording in your head.
Akshay decided to follow that same process with language. For the next several months, he studied Spanish on his own.
Most of my studying happened in motion, right? So it wasn't sitting down at a desk reading a book. It was listening to recordings. It was a lot of speaking out loud, talking to myself, actually. I must have looked like a maniac to the people around me. I would sit on the bus ride to school, from school, silently mouthing words to myself.
But not exactly silently.
So the key here is that with just maybe 15, 20, 30 words, I can create hundreds of sentences that will take me hours to practice.
Akshay's focus at the very beginning was on speaking Spanish.
I'm aiming for fluency here, right? So I'm taking each one of these sentences and saying them out loud to myself until they sound like a native speaker.
He remembers the moment when he felt it had all paid off.
So I was in line at Carlos Bakery. It's a very famous bakery in Hoboken. And there was a Peruvian woman who approached, and she got in line in front of me. And I wanted to say to her, oh, I was already in line. Yeah. Ya estaba en fila, señora, por favor.
I'm already in line.
And then she was like, oh, wow, usted habla español.
You speak Spanish.
And then we had a conversation, and this was the first conversation I had with a native speaker since I started self-studying Spanish about 6 months ago.
Akshay's teachers were so impressed with his fluency that they let him cut in line, straight past sophomore Spanish to senior level. By his junior year, he'd taken all the Spanish courses the school offered. They had to find another way to keep him busy.
So they were, you know, gracious enough to allow me to take French.
And this time, Akshay started at the senior level.
What was big for me was this was validation that what I did worked.
Meaning the talking out loud, the repetition of phrases and sentences. Back in middle school, Akshay had tried to learn Italian in a more conventional way.
I remember learning the numbers and learning the months of the year and the days of the week. And I got nowhere because I approached it the wrong way. I approached it like I was studying math or science or history. I approached it like a subject. Whereas in high school, I approached it like a skill, like I would approach music or sports. And that made all the difference.
Akshay was approaching language as you do a physical skill, the way you learn a sport or musical instrument. He was speaking both Spanish and French, so he decided to learn another language, Mandarin.
So I never actually took a Chinese class in high school.
Just self-taught.
That was just self-study.
Akshay did so well that his teacher urged him to enter a competition reciting a poem in Mandarin.
So I asked the teacher, okay, what level do you think I should go for? I'm thinking maybe the advanced level. And she said, I think you should go for the native level.
Whoa.
She was a great teacher. You know, I think great teachers push students at the right moments.
Akshay seized the moment, choosing a well-known poem.
The poem I memorized was called 再别康桥, basically Farewell Cambridge. And it's written by a very famous contemporary poet, Xu Zhimo. And most people in, I'd say, my parents' generation who are from China would know of this poem.
Can you recite some of it now?
The first few lines go something like, 轻轻地我走了，正如我轻轻地来，我轻轻地招手，作别西天的云彩。
On the day of the competition, Akshay saw for the first time the students he was up against. All of them were Chinese.
I'm clearly the only brown guy in this room. I was really scared, so I really prepared hard. So I knew this cold. And I went up there, I said my piece, and I knew I did well.
So well, in fact, that he earned first place in the advanced level. But that was not the level he was competing in.
And I was crushed. So I talked to my teacher afterwards.
Yeah.
And she said the organizers came and they spoke to me. And they said, we wanted to give him first place. But he's in the native category, but he's not Chinese. So we can't give him an award for the native category.
Yeah. Wow.
So well, I thought that was really funny.
Akshay continued studying Chinese when he got to Harvard. Since he could speak it, well, almost like a native, the faculty decided he would do best in a freshman class that focused on reading and writing. He explained this as we continued our walk around campus.
Let's get back to where are we walking now? So, and we're making our way to eventually Vansorg Hall, which when I was here was home to the East Asian language program. And so that was where I took the one semester of Chinese that I took. And it's also the building where
I think the formal name was Pre-Advanced Modern Chinese for Heritage Speakers or something.
So let me guess, all your fellow classmates looked Chinese.
Yeah, everyone was Chinese. Everyone grew up speaking Chinese at home.
Except the oddball Akshay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a great environment. It was tough. I felt challenged. And by the end of that semester, at my peak, I could decipher a newspaper.
Wow.
I don't know if I could do that anymore.
I'm still having trouble with that in English, so I'm really impressed.
It was during his freshman year that Akshay's first glimmer of an idea surfaced for what would become the language workouts. It started to take shape when he volunteered to lead the Chinatown ESL program, teaching English as a second language to members of the Boston area's Chinese community.
I saw that there was an opportunity to improve how we were teaching these folks English. So the curriculum that they were using before was, you know, pretty representative of what you'd see in most language education programs. Lots of workbooks with fill-in-the-blank activities, teaching vocabulary, verb conjugation. But it was a curriculum that didn't emphasize muscle memory, which now you know is my big, always my big focus when I'm trying to learn or teach a new language.
So Akshay added his own lesson plans to the curriculum, which he prepared and delivered in Mandarin.
So basically, I saw this as a chance to infuse into this curriculum some of the techniques and insights that I had stumbled across in my own experience learning languages. These are immigrants, Chinese immigrants who are coming and trying to, you know, build a life. They need to go to the store, they need to find a job, they need to interact with people, they need to speak the language. And so ultimately you need to help them train the muscles in their mouth to produce these strange new sounds.
And so, and Akshay's teaching method meant that these strange new sounds resulted in a class that made a lot of noise.
You could hear it from the entire hallway. Because
why?
It sounded more like a choir rehearsal than a classroom. So it's a lot of call and response. So we'd start with some repeat after me.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're saying this in Mandarin.
I'm saying this in Mandarin, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. 今天我们要学, 主语代词。 主语代词就是我、你、他、我们、你们、他们。 这是英文的主语代词,我是 I. 大家一起说 I.
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 你是 you.
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 You. So it'd go on like this, right? So uh-huh. First, so that's some simple call and response. Then we do the translation. So 我要说中文,你们要翻译成英文。我 I. So you, I say 我, you say I.
I.
Okay. 我
I.
我
I.
你
you.
你
you.
There you go. You're learning Chinese.
You're mouthing it for me, so that helps. I'm staring at your mouth when we're doing this. And we're standing here on the
corner. The class started out with 4 students. Soon, there were more than 70.
And wow. Well, that's quite a tribute to your teaching.
I certainly didn't expect it to have that impact, but I think it's a testament to what engages learners, especially when the goal is to speak. You can't teach it like a normal subject with a chalkboard and worksheets. It's an active process. Students need to move their body, right? They need to move their mouth to really get that experience. And yep. I think people really enjoyed that.
You know, one thing that I find funny is that I've interviewed lots of language teachers who complain about the old ways of teaching, and they lampoon it as drill and kill.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it sounds like you were doing drilling.
Well, it's drilling, but it's not rote drilling. The key is to drill in a way that keeps your brain engaged.
And this, for Akshay, is the key for speaking confidently in another language.
The most important thing that matters to getting to spoken fluency is the number of reps you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the most important metric for proficiency in an instrument, how many hours have you spent actually playing your instrument?
Akshay finds that language learning has a lot in common with the software that's been developed for handwriting recognition. It's pattern recognition. He gave me an example of recognizing certain patterns when learning the Spanish subjunctive. Not the easiest part of learning Spanish for most of us.
So that whenever you hear como si, you know that the thing that comes next has to be in the imperfect subjunctive tense. Como si fuera, como si tuviera, como si supiera.
As if I were, as if I had, as if I knew.
And that's really how you develop fluency with these complex grammar structures. You need to get to the point where you're not thinking. You're just doing pattern recognition.
And if you're taking notes, take down this next thing, Akshay tells us.
Spoken fluency is knowledge plus muscle memory. The knowledge is the vocab, the grammar. The muscle memory is the reps.
I asked Akshay if he could quantify what it took for someone learning a language to get to this point.
If your goal is speaking, right, muscle memory, that's the key. That means if you have 10 minutes a day to practice, spend those 10 minutes on something that gets you speaking. And I've done some back of the envelope calculations.
Yep.
And I estimate that you need 100,000 reps to reach a base level of fluency, spoken fluency.
Can you translate that into time?
It's about 200 hours of speaking out loud.
That's a lot less time than the 10,000 hours we so often hear that it takes to excel at just about anything, and certainly more attainable for those of us learning a language. If your work week is 40 hours, this comes to 5 weeks. Not bad.
I've been thinking about language learning for over 10 years now. I've been thinking very deeply about how we as adults can learn new languages as quickly and efficiently as possible and really getting to spoken fluency. I've had a chance to learn several languages and teach languages as well. And now with some of the tools we have are at our disposal through generative AI, I can finally bring my methods and my insights to fruition at scale. Like I said, what started me on this journey was that question, do I have what it takes, right? Are these people special or is this something anyone can do? And so from the point that I realized that this is something anyone can do, I've been wanting to scream that from the rooftops.
Instead, he's developed these new virtual language workouts focused on gaining fluency in speaking a language and reaching that fluency quickly. You'll find them at his new website, Sabhash, which means bravo in various Indian languages. We'll give you the link in our episode notes. Here's what to expect when you go to the website.
So what you can expect is if you work out in our language gym, you spend 30 minutes in our language gym, you're going to get 30 minutes worth of reps. And we're going to get you closer and closer to those 200 hours.
Expect to work out at several machines just as you would in your local gym.
So there's a simulation machine where you can simulate any conversation scenario that you want. Talking with your Uber driver, doing an intake with your patient, having a conversation with your neighbor. And it'll simulate that conversation for you. It'll act like your neighbor. It'll act like your Uber driver. And you can repeat that interaction as many times as you want so that when you talk to your Uber driver in real life, you're prepared.
There's a monologue machine for practicing sentences in your target language that gives you feedback on how well you're doing.
There's also a machine where you can test yourself, where you can design any conversation scenario you want, and it'll give you questions to test your ability to see how you handle different types of responses in those scenarios.
Akshay clearly sees the benefits of applying AI to language learning. So you might wonder, is there any point to actually learning a language if technology can do it for us?
What do you say to people who say, why bother learning another language because technology has already made it obsolete and we'll have these translators doing it for us?
The reason people learn languages is not just for practical purposes. It's not just to do business transactions. There is something very human about wanting to connect with other cultures and with other people. And I'm not sure that doing that via AI scratches that itch. Language is something similar. It scratches some humanistic needs that we'll never be able to automate away. Mandela said it better than anyone else, right? When you talk to someone in their second language, you're talking to their brain. When you talk to them in their mother language, you're talking to their heart.
And sometimes that can be life-saving. This is now Akshay, the future doctor, speaking.
We've actually seen that when patients receive care from a doctor who speaks their own language, their clinical outcomes are better than when they're cared for by doctors who don't speak their own language.
Is there a relationship between your plan to practice medicine and your plan to practice language instruction?
So I say yes, because the fact that I can speak these other languages will make me a better doctor. It'll allow me to connect with people and patients that other doctors have trouble connecting.
Then Akshay told me this story.
I was working in a hospital, county hospital.
In California?
In California. And there was a Chinese, older Chinese gentleman who had suffered traumatic fall. And he was intubated, but he was conscious and he was lying in bed and his family hadn't been in to visit for several days. And there was no one on the team that spoke Chinese.
No one except Akshay.
he couldn't speak back to me. But I was able to guide him through some basic motor function tests and can you wiggle your toes? Can you move your feet and things like that?
Can you say that in Mandarin?
能动一动你的脚吗? 你能抓我的手吗? And then things like that.
And how did he respond?
As we finished the exam, he suddenly grabbed my wrist and he just squeezed my wrist. That wasn't part of the exam. And I could tell that it meant a lot to, and then I said some other stuff afterwards. I said, you know, you did really well and we think we're, you know, you're going to be able to go home soon. 我们很快要送你回家, right? And I could tell when he squeezed, you know, my wrist that what he was saying was, thank you for telling me that. I haven't met a lot of people here who speak my language. And that was very special.
How did it make you feel?
I thought back to all the time I had spent working on my Chinese. It made me feel like, yes, this is why, and this is so worth it.
If you enjoyed the Indian music in this episode, thank Akshay and his father. They are both playing traditional Indian instruments, whose names I'm not going to try to pronounce, but you'll find them in the episode notes on the America the Bilingual website. You'll want to head over to our episode notes anyway, because that's where you'll find a link to the language workouts on Sabash. We've also included a link to a YouTube video that Akshay filmed years ago called Fluency, Language, and Music, when he was just beginning to study Chinese. We thought you'd like to hear how, even for someone who finds every language to be music to his ears, there's a steep learning curve when that language is new. Also on our website, you'll find a different kind of language workout, a 10-question quiz on bilingualism in America. Akshay was one of our beta testers. He reports that he got about half of the questions right and enjoyed the learning process because we explained the why of each correct answer. It changed my intuition, he told me. I too thought America was just a vast sea of monolinguals. Go to the quizzes page on americathebilingual.com and see how you do. My thanks to our America the Bilingual team who worked on this episode, Mim Harrison, our editorial and brand director who wrote and directed it, Fernando Hernandez Becerra, who produced it from his studio in Guadalajara, Mexico, Esta No Es Radio, and Jen Cavagnaro at Daruma Tech, who manages our website. Thanks for listening. Gracias por escuchar. For America the Bilingual, this is Steve Levine.